here tonight and have this opportunity to preach for you guys. Thank you, Camp Seth, for that. That is such a great truth that there is only one name worth preaching, and that's Christ. So I praise them for that tonight. Alrighty, well, it's good to be here tonight, like I said, and I just want to say a quick thank you to Pastor Rickard for giving me this opportunity. You know, when a lot of my friends back at college found out that I was going to get to preach for the church, they were a little jealous because not a lot of churches give their college kids the opportunity to preach. So I don't take this lightly, and I'm very thankful for this. Alright, if you have your Bibles tonight, we are going to be in the book of Joshua. Joshua, and we're going to be chapter 1, verse 8. Book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. And I want to be speaking on something tonight that I think mostly all of us is something that we're going to strive for. And that being, if you know what this text is about, that's success. No, whether young or old, I think often we strive for success. Whether it's in a game, we want to be the winners. Whether it's in a job, we want a success. We want to move up the corporate ladder. Or whether it's in life, at the end of our life, we want to look back and say, wow, I lived a successful life. But you know, so many times we go about that the wrong way. You know, the dictionary, it'll tell us that the definition of a successful or definition of a success, it is wealth or obtaining riches or attaining possessions to oneself. And you know, the world, it goes right along with that. It teaches that if you want a successful life, you have to gather many riches, or you have to be one of the wealthiest men, or you have to have popularity, you have to be able to walk in somewhere and everyone know your name. But the truth is, that's not what brings about true success. That's not what gives us a life of success. A life of success can only be found in one place, and my friend, that is God's word, and it's found in a relationship with God. So let's look at our text tonight. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law," God speaking, "this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this privilege to preach tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you'd calm my nerves now. Give me words to say, God. Give me wisdom, Lord. Help me to portray this message that you have so graciously shown to me, God. Lord, I pray that you bless the service tonight. And I ask this in your name. Amen. Now, a little background to our text. In this text, we see Joshua, he's just become the new leader of the people of Israel, God's people. Moses has passed away from the scene after being a mighty leader for many years, and now here's Joshua, and he's tasked with the task of leading God's children into the promised land. You know, I can't help but imagine Joshua, he was a little scared. I mean, that is a big thing to do. And here he is, I imagine, on his knees before God, saying, "God, I don't know how to do this. I need you. How am I supposed to lead these people into this land? How am I supposed to live a successful life like my mentor, Moses?" And God comes to him and says that. You see, the first thing I want us to realize tonight is that the key to unlocking a life of success, it's found in God's word. And friend, God's word is the only thing that can give us a life of success. And you know, many times I'm afraid we can look at this passage and we can think that because it was written 2,000, 3,000 years ago, that it doesn't apply to us. But you know, the truth is, it applies to us just as much today as it then did then. Because my friend, God doesn't change, and neither has his path to success. Success has always been found in the words of God. Since day one of creation, it has been found in the words of God, and God doesn't change. So as we look at this, I want to break it down a little bit more. Joshua 1:8, it said, "This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Psalm 1:1-2, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So we see two phrases there. We saw meditate in the psalmist word, and we said meditate in what God's saying. But what does that word meditate mean? No, when I think of the word meditate, I think of something like monks or something doing something that's just weird, or opening up inner peace or something like that. But honestly, that's not the picture that we have here. You know, this word meditate, it literally has the idea of a cow chewing its cud. Now, I know that's a gross example, but that's literally what it pretty much means. If you know anything about cows, you know that cow has a four-part stomach, and a cow, it'll eat something, and you'll see it'll be standing out there in the middle of the field, and all of a sudden it just starts chewing again. And you're like, what in the world? That is disgusting. But that is literally the picture that we see here. You see, we are supposed to read God's word. We're supposed to meditate on day and night. You see, when we are in God's word daily, when we are reading God's word, God can use that to bring it, those words that we read that morning, he can bring it back in our lives throughout the day. He can remind us of things that happened throughout the day. And that is literally the picture we see here. So God is saying, look, you need to meditate on my word. You need to think about my word day and night if you want true success. But you know, why, the question is asked, why is God's word so important? I mean, why does it, or why should it be a part of our everyday life? Well, I want us first to realize that God's word is important and needs to be a part of our everyday life. Well, first, because God said so in this passage. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. My friend, that is a command straight from God that we need to be in his word. But not only that, because as Pastor said this morning, it's the instruction manual to life. You know, 2 Timothy 3:17, it says, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My friend, God's word is profitable to our everyday life because it is an instruction manual to life. Back in high school, I had the opportunity to work at a farm store, and as I was thinking of this message, I thought of this as a great illustration. One day, as working at a farm store, you're never quite sure what you're going to do, and one day I had the task of putting together a water pump for an elderly woman. Now, I remember I opened up that box, and like any good box or any good thing that sips, what's on top? The instructions. Well, being the average guy I am, I took those and I chucked them behind me. And I pulled out that water pump and I was like, oh, who needs this? We got a pitcher right here. So I started to go to work on that and I put it together the best way that I thought or how I thought it should go. You know, I hooked that thing up and it worked for about 2 minutes. And then it started leaking water everywhere. And I was like, what in the world? And you know, the truth is, though, I feel that we do that so many times with our own lives. You know, we think that, well, I know how life should be, or I've lived all of 18 years. I know how to put my life together. And I look at it, and we try to work it together how we think it should go. But the truth is, if we're not looking at instructions, it's not going to work. As I said, our lives, if we don't do it according to God's word, if we don't put them together according to the instruction manual to life, they might look like they're going well for a little bit, but eventually they're going to fall apart, because if it's not created the way it's supposed to work or put together, it's going to fall apart. But that's not the only reason I see in this text that we need to be in God's word daily. The second thing I want us to realize is that God's word, it's the missing piece to life. You know, Matthew 4:4, it says, it is written, Jesus speaking said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friend, God's word, it is the missing piece. It's like our food. You know, you wouldn't get up and go a whole day without eating. So neither should we get up and go a whole day without being in God's word. You know, back to that water pump scenario, as I finally came to the point where I finally realized I couldn't do that on my own, I had to look at the instructions. When I opened up the instructions, I realized that there was a tiny little missing hose clamp that was supposed to be in the box, but wasn't. And as I looked at that, you know, that piece, that little piece, though it seems so small, though it seems like you could work the thing without it, ultimately that was the thing that kept the whole thing running and kept it from falling apart. So many times our lives are like that. You know, the little piece, God's word, it's the one thing that would keep our lives from falling apart. But so many times we're not in it. So many times we're not applying it to our heart. And the third reason I wanted to look at tonight why we need to be God's word is it lights our path. You know, Psalm 119:105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It guides us through this dark world. I like to do a lot of hunting, and the best time, my favorite thing to hunt is deer. And the best time to deer hunt is right before dawn or right before dusk. And a lot of times that means walking through the woods without a flashlight. Now, any good hunter would tell you, this is the stupidest thing you could do, would go to a brand new spot you've never been and walk in the woods in the middle of the night without a flashlight. I mean, that just doesn't make common sense. You don't know what's out there. You don't know what traps, what snares, what branches, what creeks. You don't know what's out there. And same is true for our lives. You know, we're all in the dark world of sin, and we're called to be a light to that. But how are we going to be that light if we're not in God's word? How are we going to light the path or turn on our flashlight and see the snares that the devil's placed in our lives, see the snares and all that, if we're if we're not reading God's word, if we're not using it as that flashlight, if we're not turning it on. So my friend, it is important that we be in God's word daily. But you know, it's not only important that we be in God's word daily. As the second part of Joshua 1:8 tells us, we also have to apply it to our life. You know, it said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Last I checked, all means all. It doesn't mean some little bit or only what I want to do. It means all. And God's saying that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, if we want to live a life of true success, we have to read God's word, but we also have to apply it to our lives. You know, James 1:22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Friend, we cannot just be sit around and just look at the word. We have to apply it. We have to be doers of it. We have to apply it to our lives. But if God's word is so important, you think we'd be doing it, right? But you know, sadly, we're not. As I looked up a Bible reading poll as I was preparing for this message, the Lifeway Research did a poll in 2017, and they thought at first that the problem might be lack of Bibles, but that was not the case because it said 9 out of every 10 households in America owned a Bible. It also said that the average household owned 3 Bibles. And this isn't just talking about Christians. This is everyone in America. The average household has 3 Bibles. But yet, only 39% of people who attended church said that they read a little bit of the Bible daily. That's not meaning a chapter, a little bit. So maybe they looked at a verse. That's not good. Only 49% of entire America, of those with evangelistic beliefs, read the Bible or claim to read the Bible each day. And the problem wasn't that we don't think it's effective, because 37% said that they believed that it was helpful. Another 35% on top of that said that it was life-changing. And then altogether, 52% said that the Bible was a good source of morals. But sadly, though, we're not reading it. And my friend, if we want to make a difference, if we want to live a life of success, I'm telling you today that it starts with being in God's word. You can't hope to live a true life of success unless you're in God's word. You know, so many times we talk about this world and we talk about all the bad things that are going on, just all the bombings and everything, and we wonder why. Well, granted, at the root of it, it's a sin problem. But you know, I couldn't help but thinking, what a better world we would live in if more Christians read their Bibles daily. You know, if we as Christians were reading our Bibles, it changes everything. Because when we were in God's word, when we're growing in God's word, it will change your prayer life. Your prayer life will become more powerful. Your witnessing life will become more powerful. And you'll be able to hear God speak to you. And you'll be able to move when God tells you to do something better or more to a full extent. So my friend, the first key to opening up the door to life of success, it comes from being in God's word. But the second thing I want us to realize tonight is that the second key to unlocking success is found in entrusting and obeying God's will from your life. You know, I see this in Joshua 1:9. It said, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. No, if you look at the following verses before that, you'll see that the phrase, be of good courage, it's found 3 times out of 4 verses. So that means it's important. But what does that mean? You know, quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., with firmness and without fear. So in other words, God's speaking to Joshua here, and he's saying, He's saying, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. He's telling Joshua, don't fear about what's coming up. Don't fear about crossing the Jordan and going to that land. I'm with you. I know what's going on. I'm going to take care of you. And the same is true. If we are walking with God in his word, if we're reading it, when God tells us to do something, we're going to be able to have courage. We're going to be able to trust him. But the truth is, many times we doubt God and we say, why can I trust God? Why can I, like Joshua, have courage in God? I mean, why was Joshua able to have courage with God? And the truth is, you know, we can have courage in God because he's a good father that is always with us. You know, as I was thinking about different examples, I thought of people that could have courage in God, that had courage in God, people that could have courage in God in spite of circumstances that were going on in their lives. And what I came up and thought about was the story of Abraham. You know, if you read the story of Abraham, it didn't make sense. Here's Abraham. He's an old man, and he's living in the land of Uz. And he's got everything. He's got wealth. He's got possessions. And here God comes to him, and God says, hey, I want you to pack everything up, and you're going to head that way, and I'll tell you when you get there. Oh, by the way, I'm going to give you a son, too. After 99 years, you haven't had one, but I'm going to give you one now. You know, how easy would it have been for Abraham to look at God and say, what? No. And, you know, that happens in our lives so many times. So many times we can get so comfortable with things that are going on in our lives, we cannot be walking with God, and then when God tells us to do something, we want to say no. But, you know, I'm thankful Abraham didn't do that, because if Abraham wouldn't have done that, I don't think he would have been used in such... He would never have been used in such a mighty way. Isaac probably would have never been born. But because Abraham trusted God, God was able to bless him and give him success. Another one that comes to mind is the story of Job. And Job has always had a special place in my heart. You know, here's Job. The Bible says that he was a perfect... It called him a perfect and an upright man, one that eschewed evil and feared God. But yet, when one day Job lost everything. He lost his kids. He lost all his possessions. His wife even turned against him. And here's that famous verse, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, why was Job able to say that? He was able to say that because he had courage in God. He trusted God. He knew that his life was in the hands of his Creator, and no matter what God did, it was going to be ultimately for his best, and he could have faith in God. So I want us to look at three reasons why we can trust God and why God's way is best. First reason I want us to realize is we can trust God because he is a good father that is always with us. You know, we saw that in the text. He said, when he told Joshua, he said, you can be of good courage. And he said, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Friend, do you realize tonight that the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, is with you? And he is a good father. You know, one of the most influential people in my life growing up was my dad, and I'm very thankful for my dad. Because my dad was. He doesn't even come to as good as God is. Maybe as amazing as they were, they don't even come close to being as good as God is. You know, God tells us in Matthew 10:29-31, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. You know, a farthing, it's a small little piece of money, and a sparrow, it's a small little bird. And God's saying, that little bird, it can't fall to the ground without me knowing. You know, verse 30 of that passage, it says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And he says, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value to me than many sparrows. Friend, you can trust God because he is a good father that cares about you and wants what's best for you. If a sparrow can't fall to the ground without God knowing, don't you think he knows what's going on in your life? Don't you think he knows the difficulties you face? No, Psalm 139:17-18, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. No, I go to college in Florida, and Florida is known for its beautiful beaches. But it always amazes me when I walk out of the beach and think, that God's thoughts are more in number than the sand. You know, there's tons and tons and tons of sand out there. There's tons of sand at the bottom the ocean. Friend, that is life-changing. Why couldn't you trust a God? Why couldn't we have courage in a God that thinks about us constantly? But you know, we cannot just have courage in God because he thinks about us constantly. We can have courage and trust that God knows what's best because he knows our beginning and our end. You know, Psalm 139:14-16, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Friend, do you realize that before you were born, God knew you? God knew everything about you. He says, before your members were fashioned, before your hands, before your hair, I knew it. I created you. I designed you. And I have a purpose for your life. No, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think to you," God speaking. He said, "Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." My friend, God knows your beginning, and he knows your end, and he has a plan for it all. And you know that future that seems so, that's so big that we don't understand, the future that we seem think that God doesn't know anything about? The truth is that that future, it's history to God. God's seen your future. He's been there. He created it. And my friend, God knows what's going on. God didn't create your life to be a mystery. He didn't create it to just work like this or work like that or work by accident. He created it with a special plan. And if you're here today and you're breathing, you have a plan. God still has a plan for your life. And my friend, it starts with trusting God. We have to be in God's word, and we have to have courage in God. And the third thing I want us to look at, why we can trust God, and probably the most amazing, is because he's our Savior. Do you realize that God loved you and me enough that when we rebelled against him, when we turned our backs on him and did our own thing, God was willing to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for you and me. You know, as I look around tonight, I would say that most of the people here know Christ as their Savior, but I also know that there's people here today who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you tonight. You know, true success, all these principles, it go to true success, but I want us to realize tonight that if you're not saved, you can't even begin to apply these principles to your life. Because true success, it starts with we have to come to a point where we realize that our inadequacy to gain eternal life on our own and that it can only be obtained through Christ's finishing work on the cross. But the question is tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved and you're saying, why do I need to be saved? Well, I want you to realize tonight that you need to be saved because you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You know, Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's perfect, holy law. And that's why we need a Savior. But the price of sin, in fact, it's death. You know, Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And that's not just talking about a physical death. No, that's talking about an eternal death. It's talking about death in a lake of fire, a place the Bible refers to as hell. My friend, that is exactly where you're going to go if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior. Because, my friend, you can never make it there on your own. You can never be good enough. You may say, well, I've done good works my entire life, or I've gone to church my whole life, so I must be a good enough person to get to heaven on my own. But the truth is, that's not. Ephesians 2:9, it says, "For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, you can't get to heaven by your own good works. Isaiah tells us that our good works, in the sight of God, it's garbage. It's filthy rags. And my friend, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You realize that the God that I said a minute ago that you can trust and have courage in your day-to-day lives, the God that knows your future, he says that he is the only way. And my friend, you can trust him when he says that. My friend, God is the only way that you're going to get to heaven tonight, and it is through coming into a relationship with him. So if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you. True success, it's found in the Bible, and it's found in having courage in God. But ultimately, to get on that path, you have to be saved. So I challenge you, if you're here tonight and you've never known Christ as your personal Savior, please make that choice tonight. Get saved. Because why would you choose to reject a God that loved you so much? I mean, why would you choose to reject a loving father that thinks about you constantly? You know, if we are going to reject God, ultimately, I'd have to say you're a fool, because only a fool would reject somebody that loved him so much. So my challenge for you guys tonight is, in our day-to-day lives, I want us to realize, as we recap and end this message, that true success, it's not found in riches, it's not found in wealth. True success, it's found in having a relationship with God. It's found in being God's word. So my challenge is to you tonight, Christian, are you taking the time to be in God's word daily? You know, we said at the beginning that that is important, and my friend, that is so important. It is one of the biggest things you can do is be in God's word daily. Are you allowing God's word to shape your day? You know, another thing we talked about tonight was having courage in God, and that has been one of the biggest things that I've been struggling with. You know, as a college student, you don't
you worry about things and you don't know about the future and you worry. But what a relief it is to know that you can have courage in God, that you can trust that God knows what he's doing. So my challenge is for you tonight. Be in God's word daily. Trust in God. Allow him to direct your paths and allow him to give you true success. Psalm 3, 5, and 7, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So let me ask you tonight, are you on the path to success? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, God. Lord, I thank you for the privilege, once again, that you gave me to speak tonight. Lord, I thank you that you didn't just create us without a purpose, but you created us with a plan, and you put us on this earth for a reason, God. Lord, I pray that we would take these truths tonight that we learned from your word, and that we would apply it to our lives, God, and that we would apply everything that you show us in this word, Lord. And I pray that we would all be on the path to true success. Lord, I also ask that there's somebody here tonight, Lord, who doesn't know you, God. I pray that they would make the choice to come to the saving knowledge of you tonight, Lord. And I ask this in your name. Amen.